hats here. My traditional pink Living the Questions hat, a la Minnie Faye, and a hat that I brought from home that has questions for Black Lives Matter, and Christina and Tandabantu are going to be answering those. I'm going to ask you all to answer from the mic. In part because it's recorded, I don't doubt your projection. It's just that it's recorded and then people can listen later. So, and we have our trusty, this year's Vanna White is Brian Kenyon. And he will be pulling the questions, and we'll start with me and then do one for Black Lives Matter and go back and forth and try and answer as many as we can. And the first question is, Brian.
This is actually a question for both of you. How could a freedom-loving people justify holding African Americans in bondage for 242 years of American history?
Do you want to start, or would you like me to start, Christina? We could take, well, actually, I think we want to leave it up because Steve's still singing, so. Actually, you can use this one, though. This will probably be easier.
It's fine. I can put it back up.
Can you? Well, you will have two of them. And here's the deal with this mic. You hold it like an ice cream cone. Okay? Like a rock star. Okay?
If you really like ice cream.
If you really like, oh, that's like my favorite dessert.
Okay.
So I would say, in response to that question, I think that really the only response that I have is that I think that we need to be aware that freedom has been very relative in America. Freedom has been something that we say, but that we don't always mean for everybody and all people. It has been very individualized. And so I would say that freedom loving is almost like a problematic statement because we're not freedom loving in regards to everyone. And so I think through works like this and moments like this, we open that space up to include everyone. So that would be my response.
Yeah. I'll say what she said. And in addition, I guess I would say there's the context and our understanding, and women also weren't included in that equation at first. And I am a firm believer that the arc of the universe bends towards justice. And we are, as a species, moving more and more towards an increased understanding of consciousness and liberation and freedom. And there will be a generation after us that will say, how could they have not allowed freedom for fill in the blank? And so it is really our work to continually be on that edge and looking back and learning from our history. So, sure.
Not a whole lot to add to what my sisters have said, but I do think that it's important for us to remember the history of this country, the history that has brought us to this space. Most of those men who signed the documents on which this country were founded were slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
That's not hyperbole. And so that is the history out of which we have grown. It is a history we dare not forget. And if we get in touch with the history that brings us to this place, I think that we are in a better position to honor the principle of Unitarian Universalists calling for compassion and equity and justice in the world.
You can just hold on to that. I'm going to let you go. Hold on to that. But I'm going to cheat because I have notes for some of these questions. So there, much better. Okay, this one is for you specifically, so.
What is the most effective way for a white congregation to support changes in our USA racial issues?
So I think moments like this, being willing to have courageous conversations, being willing to give up your resources as well as your time and your talent, We need your bodies. We need everything that you can offer to the movement. Being willing to be a voice, being willing to be an advocate within your communities. I heard a wonderful story about someone that was selling Black Lives Matter yard signs. All of those things matter, and all of those are ways that you contribute to shifting the current paradigm of this culture and society.
We are very fortunate to be in a UU space. Some of you will remember the name of Dr. William Gardner. Dr. William Gardner has been writing and working literally for decades for racial and gender justice and social justice generally. I think one of the things that congregations such as this one can do is to continue the unfinished business of studying things like the whiteness curriculum that you have in your archives, studying the many materials that have been created, the number of books that help us to think more clearly and historically about where this country has been and how it got to where it is now. I think if we do those kinds of things, we will be in a better position to serve justice and mercy in this country.
Thank you. Stand closer to the mic.
Not entirely whimsical, I ask, dear Johnny, what is the meaning of life? He chose not to answer. Actually, upon some reflection, maybe a better question is, what are the meanings of life? Or what can we do to make our lives have meaning? Or how do we ensure that those efforts we make have meaning in the lives of others?
Just a little question.
There's a lot of parts to it.
Yeah, I know. I read it. Keep going. No. We have to hear the whole thing. We have to hear the whole thing. Well, I'll look for my notes on the meaning of life. Okay. I want you to read the whole thing and who it's not, from.
And not just providing self-satisfaction. From Bob Norris.
Bob Norris. Is Bob here this morning? Bob is probably out doing some amazing act of social justice, right? So my first comments of that are just providing self-satisfaction. So I wanted to kind of back up there and say that I believe that if we do what brings us meaning and take enough time really understanding that, that naturally as human beings, that expands out to creating meaning in the world. It kind of goes back to the Howard Thurman, you know, what makes you come alive? Figure out what makes you come alive and go do that, because the world needs people who have come alive. And so our meanings in life are greatly enhanced when we take the time to do that inner reflection through spiritual practice, through gathering in community, through education, and not to underestimate that what gives you meaning echoes out and provides meaning to others. I think that's what I had to say about it. Yeah, so. You're up.
What was your favorite activity with BLM 5280 in the last 6 months, and why have you chosen it as your favorite? From Sylvine Farnell.
So when I got that one in the email, I was like, ooh, how do I choose? But I did choose one. My favorite activity that we've done is Black Lives Matter 5280 in the last 6 months was our 135 and counting action that we did back in June. And I really loved that action because it created a exactly what we say we're seeking to create, which was a safe and loving space for Black people. And so it was a people of color only space, and basically it was right after the shooting deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. Mm-hmm. And we just made a space where people could come as communities of color and grieve and vent and love on people and meet new people to love on and to be loved by. And that is exactly what we're creating and wanting, seeking to create. So that was my most favorite thing in the last season.
Yeah, very briefly, I think my, I had difficulty thinking about it as my most favorite. But certainly one of the spaces that has meant most to me in the past 6 months is a male-only space. Mm. That we entered about 2 weeks ago, and Chris and I were both there with other men in Black Lives Matter. And the space was very important because I think that it allowed us to think about what our experiences in this society and in this country have done to shape us as males. Mm-hmm. And it was a space in which we called upon one another to think about how we can be more supportive of the leadership of our chapter. It was a space in which Black men could nurture Black men and talk in a very critical way about how we can better support the struggle for justice by becoming better men. Men who are aware of our sexism, men who are aware of the ways in which patriarchy has shaped us. So that we don't have to follow the scripts that our slave masters made for us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. I told him, please don't pick that one. No, there's some that were in both. There were some that were in both, and so that was the question about 242 years of slavery. So,
and this is a question for both of you.
Into the mic.
This is a question for both groups. How can we help to build the community together with Black Lives Matter? From Mary and Paul Gibb.
How can we help build a community together with Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
Do you want to start that or shall I? Actually, I would like you to start it because I think part of that building that community together is for you to take the lead and for us to really be listeners. So that's the first part of my question, of my answer. So.
Sure. So that is an important part. Is the way that you can build community with us is by doing a lot more listening than talking, by being willing to ask questions, but also do your own research, right? Because even sometimes overburdening with questions is just like, okay, now that's just exhausting too. And so being willing to do a lot more listening than talking, to be willing to do your own research, and be willing to maybe take a seat in some areas and let us lead in some things and really kind of guide you as to what we need. I think that's like the first thing you got to do in helping to build community.
Yeah, the only thing I would try to add is that as white Americans, if you understand, you begin to understand better, or you begin to question more about why Black Lives Matter has become another banner, another slogan, another theme, this many years after the death of Dr. King and Malcolm and Ella Baker and Fannie Lou Hamer and Shmuel Goodman and Cheney and all those who gave themselves to the struggle for justice. Why is it that we have to have Black Lives Matter now, again? And if you ask yourselves that question, then the second question perhaps, which is maybe the most important one for you, is why don't white lives matter more? If we have to fight for Black lives to matter, the Do white lives really matter all that much in a society where human rights are violated every day? In a place like Denver or Boulder, where people are rent poor because the notion of profit is so prevalent that people can charge anything and everything. There's no rent control. And people all over this state are fighting to find places that they can live. Yeah. And when why do black folks got that problem, why do white people have that problem? That's an important kind of question for whites to ask. Mm-hmm. So that your struggle becomes more something that you think about. It's not just black people who have to struggle for justice. The vast majority of people in this country have to fight for justice. And if you have a fight and I have a fight, then you're not fighting for me. You can be supportive of me, but you have your own fight as well.
Thank you. Thank you. The piece that I would add would be the piece of the conversation that I started a few weeks ago with you about understanding white fragility and understanding our own vulnerability and asking questions of ourselves when we feel vulnerable about what that's about. Is that about our own fear of losing our position in society, our own privilege of class or race? I'm going to say we'll do one more from each. So this is my last one because it's.
Is this yours?
Oh no, sorry. So one more there, and then we're going to go three more questions altogether. So.
How can our congregation be more welcoming to the black community? From Linda Thornton.
So I don't know who asked that question, but I'm going to ask a clarifying question if that's okay. Do you mean specifically to welcome them into this congregation or just as a person? What do you mean?
To welcome them into this congregation. My son is black, and I think one day he's going to ask why he's the only one who is that color here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good question. That is a deep answer, though. So the Christian church and the black community is hundreds and hundreds, and it's centuries old, right? Like, it's so old within our community. And so to be a denomination that is not a Christian denomination predominantly, you're already fighting a battle to have a conversation with a black person anyway. So I think approaching it from the standpoint that this is something that they grew up in, that they have lived as far back as they probably can remember, right? Your conversation has to be shifted in a certain kind of way. I think just being willing to explore new spaces is not something that black people necessarily do. So I would say that you don't have a lack of black people in the building because there's a lack of welcome from you all. I would say that that's something that we are generationally going to have to come over to enter a space like this. So that's more us, I would say, than you, honestly. And I would say if you're wanting to do that, be willing to have the conversation with that in mind.
Did you have anything to add? No? Okay. Now, this one is my last question, right?
It is. Do you want to pick it?
Yeah. All right. It's a big one, that's right. Oh, okay. I know.
I am a new member, February of 2016, and may be missing something. I was not an active member at First UU of Albuquerque, attended occasionally. They have an active environmental group called EarthWeb. It's not your job, I think, to initiate every covenant group, but do you have an opinion on why we don't have such an activity? Does it need an instigator? Is there too much going on already? Are there too few weeks in the year? I think Van Jones would say we can incorporate it into every social justice movement. Mm-hmm. The worst effects will be felt among the poorest. Climate matters. Jay Johnson.
Thank you, Jay. So I'm going to say, yes, climate matters. And in this congregation, I've seen energy towards it, and then it wanes, and then it goes up, and then it wanes. And I don't have a good answer for that. Maybe it's because there are too few weeks in the year. But I really appreciate thinking about that as a lens through which we walk in the world, in the same way that we can use race as a lens through which we walk in the world to really be attentive to what the impacts of our actions have on climate. So we're doing lots of little things here, like our composting when we can. We have certainly have people here who are in this congregation who are very strongly connected to climate and the Gaia movement. Thank you very much. And there is also a covenant group called the Gaia Covenant Group that is working. Is Jay here this morning to even hear my, like, apologetic response? He's not here this morning. So I really welcome us picking up that mantle more intentionally. I think it's so big, and we are so scared by it, that we have to do in some ways the same thing that we have done around race, is just start and keep having the conversation, and recognize that if we start having the conversation, we have to look again at our own privilege and choices. And that makes it hard to pick up the conversation. But I welcome it.
So this is our last question. You guys want to pick the last question? Do you believe the term white ally is appropriate?
If not, favorite question.
What should we white folks call ourselves? Christina.
I'm so excited about that. That's like my favorite question. I was like so excited when I saw that in the email. I think, so the term white ally is completely appropriate. I think it's important to understand what that means, right? So I would say that there are like maybe three parts you can play as any person in a social justice movement. You can be either an ally, an accomplice, or an advocate. So an ally is someone that would take up an offering and give to the movement, right? They're not necessarily directly involved, but they are supporting the movement. And then you have the advocate. That's the person that's willing to stand up and give a voice to the movement, right? It's putting the signs in your front yard. It's having the conversations with people that are ignorant to what the movement is. And then there's the accomplice that is willing to be the street medic, that's willing to come and form a barrier and give their bodies and be arrestable so that the people of color are not arrested, right? So there's three different parts that you can play. They're all important. They're all significant. They're all necessary. And you can be more than one of those. So yes, ally is completely appropriate, but you might be something else and you just don't even know that that's what it is. So that's my favorite question.
Yep, that's it. That's it. I want to thank you so much for coming here. It's really enriched my Sunday, and I would say no doubt the Sunday of everybody in this room. And I hope you'll stay for the picnic after the service if you can, and I look forward to ways that our relationship deepens over time. So thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you.